Genesis chapter 3. You see all here tonight? We are dealing with the temptation in the Garden of Eden. And I'll be doing just a little bit of review to kind of get us up to speed. Just chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay, we covered quite a bit of that last week, but just I want to hit a few high points tonight before we go on. In verse 1, we see the serpent's question. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree, or literally any tree? It could be translated any tree of the garden. And so immediately Satan is trying to get Eve to question God's command. And he begins to appeal to the feeling that she might have that God is too prohibitive. And he attempts to create some doubt of God's benevolence. Why is God withholding from you this fruit that it looks good? And we can eat all the others. Why not this one? You know, there's got to be some reason why. And so that's his question. And, there is a phrase that the Lord in the New Testament gave to Satan, referring to this and his strategy as he tries to lead people astray. He called him, deceiver. That's good. That's real close to what I was going to say. Yeah, that's a good one. He is the father of lies. And so that's what the Lord said about him. Well, Eve's answer in verses 2 to 3 indicate she has already begun to question the goodness of God. She added to what God said, we can't eat, neither can we touch it. Now, where do you think she might have gotten that idea, you can't touch it? Any thoughts about that? How did Eve know she wasn't supposed to eat from that tree? Yeah.
Dad won't let me do anything.
Yeah. Sounds just like kids, doesn't it? I think you're right. One or the other. It could be that Adam said to her, because he's the one that knew they weren't supposed to eat from that tree, and so he might have said to her, you know, don't even touch it. Just stay away. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He wouldn't have said that in those New Testament words, but could be. Or else just she is embellishing, kind of feeling sorry for herself. This is so unreasonable, we can't even touch it. You know, what's the big deal? So she's begun to question the goodness of God. She adds to what God says. Maybe she's trying to draw out some more information from this serpent that seems to know some things that she doesn't know and would like to know and would be profitable to know. And so she's beginning to develop a resentment here. And so Satan's next step in verses 4 and 5 is to boldly contradict God's word. In verse 4, you shall not surely die. Did you notice that this is a promise that Satan is incapable of keeping? Did Eve die? Well, of course she did, long time ago, right? So, but there's an element of truth. We discussed that last week. An element of truth in that she didn't kill over as soon as she took the fruit, but she did begin to die physically, and she certainly died at that moment spiritually, and thus the need for the new birth. And then there's this idea that Satan tells you, you know, you won't die, and you're going to know something now that God knows, only God knows, and he's keeping away from you. And then his next lie is, again, with an element of truth, and that's what Satan always does. It's nothing just blatant. It's always with an element of truth. You know, if you are fishing, you don't just stick a hook in the water, do you? It's not going to work. You try to trick poor fish, right? And so always an element of truth and disguising the hook, as it were. But not only will you not die, but you'll be like God. Now, that's the same temptation that Satan fell to. I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the throne of God, and so on. And so he's hinting at her that she can gain some wisdom by doing what she has been prohibited to do. But here is a biblical truth that I believe is good for us to get a hold of. Wisdom is never obtained by disobedience. How is wisdom attained? Somebody said,
being obedient.
Okay. John?
James says, ask God.
Yes. Yeah, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask God liberally. And what does Proverbs say about how do we get wisdom? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so there doesn't seem to be that fear here. There seems to be more of a resentment. And, you know, let's not be too hard on Eve, because I think if we're honest with ourselves, we will see that those thoughts have at least gone through our minds at times, you know, that things just aren't what they ought to be or whatever. He's getting Eve to start to decide her own standards of right and wrong. And oh my goodness, is that prevalent in our world today? Situation ethics, and you know, no absolutes and that type of thing. And it's right if you think it's right, and it's up to the human to decide. So that's where we left off last time. So now we get into the actual fall itself, and we look at their sin in verse 6, or her sin. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So their sin, yes. As we look at verse 6 there, three things that Eve sees. Number one, the tree was good for food. It looked good. Secondly, it looked like it would taste good, and its appearance was good. And thirdly, it would be desired to make one wise. If I eat from this fruit of the tree, I'll be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. Do those three appearances suggest a verse in the New Testament to anyone? Look at them again. It looked like it would taste good. It had a pleasant appearance. And so we're taste, sight, and desire to be wise. Yes?
I mean, James talks about that, but then also that's how Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness.
That's a good one. I hadn't even thought about that one. That's good. John?
Talk about the lust of the eyes and lust of the
flesh. There it is.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. 1 John 2:16. And we should have that on the proclaim there, I think. 1 John 2:16. So here are the three. The lust of the flesh. This would really taste good. The lust of the eyes. This looks great. The pride of life. Desire to make one wise. That's the three things that John speaks about under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we are to avoid. And that's, you know, sin... basically takes one of those three, at least one of those three appearances, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. Those are the things that Satan appeals to. And David, I never even thought of that, but that's a good point. That's the way Satan appealed to the Lord, like he thought that was going to work. And did it? Obviously not. And how did the Lord defeat Satan? Each time he did what? Yeah. Yeah. Quoted scripture. Best defense. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Andrea.
I read, I think it was in the MacArthur Study Bible, that Adam and Eve knew good and evil from a mortal point, but they didn't know good and evil from a holy point like God does. And the tragedy is mortal point's bad, holy point is worse. I mean, we don't know what holiness is.
And they certainly, excuse me.
That's the, I mean, the fall is more devastating.
They certainly didn't know evil experientially. Sad thing, you know, and I'm sure every time you read it like me, and you just think, oh, man, you know. look at the consequences of this one step of disobedience. She not only ate some of it herself, but she gave some to Adam, which also is characteristic of the sin nature. The nature of sin is to involve someone else in our sin. Why? Why is that so desirable to do?
Misery loves company.
Misery loves company?
Like-minded people hang around together.
Birds of a feather flock together. And all these Bible verses, probably, no. Becky.
It makes you feel not quite so bad if other people are doing it.
Possibly, yes. I think in many instances that would be the case. You don't feel so bad about doing it because somebody else is going along with you. I think here's another thing. It's not much fun to do it by yourself. Well, some of it is. You know, some things are. Like
chocolate cake, I said. You don't need anyone there with you.
I'm eating a chocolate cake.
Oh, chocolate cake. Do you have anything specific in mind? No, not Sam. Right? Wise woman. Okay.
No, no.
Dave's looking a little uncomfortable at this point. So possibly we should just continue on here. So the nature of sin is to involve others. Tom, I think I have 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. So, why would that conclusion be drawn? Why would Paul write that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Adam was not deceived, but the woman was? And so she was the one that was in the transgression. Almost sounds like it's exonerating Adam. What do you think? Was Adam deceived? He knew. God told him point blank, don't eat it. Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was the one that was deceived. She believed what this serpent told her. Yet, the Bible goes on to teach us that it was not Eve's sin, but Adam's that plunged the human race into sin. And my PowerPoint stops here. I added some verses just a little while ago, and it was too late to get them up on Proclaim. But 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So Adam's sin, knowingly doing what God had commanded him not to do, plunged the entire subsequent human race into sin. And look at the... Are there consequences to sin? Wow. You look at our world today, you know, and you look at our world at any period of time, and you see these just incredible consequences of sin. And this is where it started. So Adam, it was not Eve's sin, but Adam's that plunged the human race into sin. Adam deliberately chose to do wrong. And in verse 7, we have the immediate results. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So their eyes were opened. What does that mean? Well, I think the rest of the verse goes on to explain what it means. They immediately knew evil, experientially. They immediately knew that they had done wrong. And so what do? They try to cover up. Well, we find that later on. We'll get to that later on in chapter 3, verse 21. But they try to cover up their sin. They know that they're wrong. They know that they've done wrong. And then along comes God. And we see the encounter with God. He appears in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Easy question, why did they hide? They knew they had done wrong, and they were ashamed that they had done wrong. They're convicted. And we take it just a step further. They knew that God knew. Was that?
And then thinking of the judgment that would come from it.
Probably, yeah. Okay, now what? You know, they've got the knowledge of good and evil. Now they know that there's going to be some kind of consequence. They've got to know that. And so they make this futile attempt to hide from God. You know anybody else in the Bible that tried to do that? A man named Jonah. Did that work too well? Do we ever do that? Everybody go like this? We do. You know, we try to. If you were in on the series I've done here twice actually on You Know the Truth and the Truth Will Make You Free, we try to excuse our sin. We try to shift the blame, and we find it happening big time with Adam and Eve later on as God confronts them. But there's this guilt. And how, when you know you're doing something you ought not to do, how eager are you to have a prayer meeting? What would you rather do? Unless you've reached the point of conviction, and it's a prayer of confession. Do you feel like sitting down and having your devotions and rejoicing in the goodness of God? You know, there's that guilt. And, as someone mentioned, the fear of consequences as well, you know. So, we learned so much about the nature of sin, the nature of temptation, from what happened here in the Garden of Eden so long ago. Now, evidently, this was a normal event, and it has the appearance that it was a daily event. The Bible doesn't specifically say that. Try to read between the lines here a little bit, and, you know, probably there was a certain time in the day that this would happen daily. Either that or they heard God's voice and phew, off they went, which seems a little far-fetched. I almost think they hid and heard God's voice then after they had, but it doesn't matter either way. And does God appear now? Is God a spirit? Yes. So what do we have here? How, in what sense is God appearing in the garden and talking with Adam and Eve? Sharon? Yes. It could have well been a theophany, we call it, God appearing in the form of a man, or a Christophany, God, Christ appearing in the form of the man. What other ways did God appear to men and women at times?
Angel.
Angel of the Lord, remember, appeared to Abraham.
Fire.
Cloud.
The Shekinah glory.
Shekinah glory filled the Holy of Holies. Sometimes it was a vision. Sometimes it was a dream. Sometimes it was an audible voice. Do you think we're going to hear that voice someday? Are you in a hurry to hear it? At times I'm in a hurry to hear my wife's voice, you know. Boy, want to see my Savior first of all. What a day that's going to be. So probably God in the form of a man or an angel, we don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't say, and so no sense speculating. And so Adam decides it's about good time to disappear now. So instead of anticipating fellowship with God, now Adam and Eve are avoiding fellowship with God. And again, I think what I just said a few minutes ago, that when we know we've done something or are doing something that God does not approve of, there is that even subconscious maybe effort to just kind of avoid fellowship until we've really dealt with it. And, you know, hopefully we do deal with it. And our God is gracious and forgiving when we don't just admit but confess. There's a difference between admission and confession, and there's a difference between confession and repentance. Can somebody tell me what would be the difference between confession and repentance? Because that's the meaning of the word repent. So if there is no change, there is no repentance. It's one thing for a child to admit they've done something wrong. It's another thing for them to decide, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to change my behavior. So, again, just, you know, so human, the sin nature, so prone to these very types of things. Let's not be too hard on Adam and Eve. I wonder what we would have done if we were there. I think we probably know. And so they hid themselves, which in a sense is good because it shows they were convicted that what they had done was wrong. You know, they weren't just happy-go-lucky about the whole thing. Would somebody turn to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, and then we'll have to stop with that for tonight. Proverbs 28, 13. Have a volunteer. Okay, David.
He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Would you read it again? Do you still have it?
Yeah. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Do we ever try to cover our sin? Yeah, remember? We tell ourselves lies. We try to shift the blame. We make excuses for our wrongdoing. Instead of just admitting, this is wrong, this is sin. So if we confess and forsake, we find mercy. Okay, comments, questions, my time is up tonight. It goes so quickly. John? By the way, I can still do an about face. Drill that into you at boot camp. It's not as easy as it looks. You got to know how to do it. Either when you're marching or when you're just standing still, about face, there's a certain way to do it. No demonstrations tonight, sorry. Okay, I have kind of a